Hello and welcome to Keanu Club, like a cool breeze over the mountains. This is episode 67. It's a little bit of a weird one. It's a super episode, sort of. We're talking about Keanu, Anyone Can Quantum, and Quantum is Calling, all from 2016. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And with us today we have Jess Collins. Hi, Jess.
Hey.
So you originally had signed up for these Quantum episodes and we had them sort of separated out because I think you'd seen these before, right?
I saw them the day they came out.
And you love them.
I love them. I've seen them at least 15 times a piece.
Wow.
When did these come out?
One came out about a year ago and the one was about 6 months ago. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Something
well,
like that.
I think one of them came out in January of 2016.
Okay.
The first
And then the second one came out like 6 months after that, I think. Or maybe a little bit after. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had never seen either of the shorts. I'd seen the movie. We'll talk about each individually. But as we were sort of pushing toward the end of Keanu Club and skipping things, we decided that instead of skipping these, we were going to combine them. And I had no idea how fortuitous it was that we combined all these because they're all similar in that if you've seen a lot of Keanu movies, or at least seen the big Keanu movies, you're going to like these three things, or at least the references to a lot of the things, more than people who haven't. So I think it's perfectly fitting that all three of these are together in one episode because they're all Keanu referential bits of joy.
Yeah, and they're all kind of short Keanu moments as well. Like, the film is called Keanu, but he himself isn't in it very much. You know, he's in a very short moment of that. So it would have been a little weird to have a full episode on Keanu. And then these Quantum segments are only about 10 minutes each. So again, those I think were going to be combined anyway. So to do all three just felt like a good fit.
And we really can't do Keanu Club without doing the movie Keanu because, like, I don't know how you'd skip that. I mean, he's barely in it, but it's like they sort of did that the reason that we're doing this because they like Keanu. Like, that's, you know.
Right, yeah. Like, it feels like them being lifelong fans of Keanu, and if you are fans of Keanu, them naming the cat Keanu, instantly there's a connection that you get.
Mike, had you seen any of these before or no?
No. They're all new to me. I didn't know about the shorts until we were researching this stuff.
Okay.
And I held off on watching those. And then, you know, I of course I knew about Keanu. I missed it in theaters because I think we had started Keanu Club at that point. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice the theatrical viewing. And
yeah,
we
definitely had.
Yeah. And I'm going to wait. And then it came out on home video. And I was like, I'm still going to wait. And then it came out on HBO. And I was like changing the channel every time it was on. So I really, you know, held off on this one up until this viewing.
It came out in, I want to say, like May or June. Jess, had you seen the movie yet or was this the first time?
This was actually the first time I'd seen it, although I had really wanted to see it before. For some reason, it just kept getting pushed down on my list.
Gotcha. Well, I'm glad that we could make your dream come true for Keanu Club.
Yes.
So this, I think, came out like May or June of last year, which means we would have been in that dreaded high school phase of Keanu's. Because I remember, so my barometer for measuring this is that I moved from Austin back to New Jersey, and the first episode we recorded when we moved back was Point Break. So Keanu was definitely out before that. So we were still in the before Keanu really broke out phase. So it was all the TV series and shorts and stuff. So, like, we were in the heart of Keanu Club, but not really into the big stuff. And so I think we should talk about the movie first. The movie this time worked a lot better for me, not only because I'd seen everything, like, you know, I got the Bill and Ted jokes, also because I love the fact that Method Man plays a guy named Cheddar in this after he plays Cheese on The Wire, which I just finished. And also, the third thing, the most important thing, I want to know what both of you think about the movie. When I saw this in theaters, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I was just like, it felt like it could have been better. It felt kind of slow. I think I just had really high expectations of it. And this time, I knew what kind of movie it was, and I enjoyed it way, way more. Like, it felt quicker. I liked the jokes more. I don't know what it was about the second time, but I don't think it was just like the investment in Keanu. I just think that I liked the movie more with lower expectations.
I'm a big Key and Peele fan anyway, so I was super hyped to see this movie, and when I watched it last night, it met all of my expectations. I was laughing hysterically in my living room by myself.
Yeah, and I'm also a huge Key and Peele fan, but I must admit, I had heard, you know, not to get my hopes up, to be quite honest. Like, that's sort of the buzz I got, is that people just seemed a little disappointed that it didn't deliver more. And I like it, I do, but I also felt like maybe there are parts here that they could have pushed a little further, and other times I feel like maybe the main plot is a little too safe. Like, I've seen a lot of this before, and I guess I just expected a little more from Key and Peele, but I understand it's really hard to keep up the momentum of something like this for, you know, 100 minutes, and I feel like they did a really successful job with their first movie, you know, which this is. I feel like it got a little away from the premise of the cat. I thought the cat was going to be a little more central throughout, and it kind of goes into this gangbanging subplot in order to get the cat back, which I did enjoy still, but again, that's sort of the stuff that seemed more familiar. But overall, I was pleased.
So I looked up trivia about this movie because I thought I remembered reading, back when this movie came out, a thing that I couldn't find this time. So I don't know if I made it up. I don't think it would have been something I made up, but I remembered reading, like, last year that they were considering a few different names for the cat. And they wanted to be, like, an iconic name, like a sort of like a one-word name that specifically targeted one. I think they were only talking about, like, actors, but something like, you know, like Arnold or something. Like, you know, like something like an iconic one name that, like, you specifically tie that to a single person. And they landed on Keanu, and then they eventually got Keanu, whatever. I couldn't find that. But what I did find was that the first few versions of this script didn't have the cat at all. So I think that's kind of why the cat thread sort of gets lost in the middle. And then everybody's just like, oh, I want that cat. I love that cat. Because the original, it was just, what was it originally called? Let me see here. It was originally called Real Hard Motherfuckers. I can't believe I forgot that. So it was originally called that, and, like, they added the cat in because they just, like, it was basically about two guys trying to get what they wanted. You know, it's sort of the same thing. They're just two, you know, mild-mannered guys who sort of get thrown into this life of crime and sort of have to be, like, you know, thug out and, like, get gangster and, like, get real hard to sort of make it through this world and through this weekend or whatever. And then Alex Rubens, the guy who co-wrote it, Alex Rubens, he co-wrote it with Jordan Peele, said, you know, this might sound stupid, but what if Rel is trying to rescue his stolen kitten? And then that's what Jordan Peele said, and he's just like, I thought it was perfect. So they went from there. So it was just like this idea to fit it in after the fact. So I think that's why it sort of goes away. And I think I agree with you that the first time I saw it, I thought the cat was going to be, like, in every scene and sort of, like, you know, kind of like a mismatched buddy duo, you know, like the two of them and him, or a trio or whatever. But the fact that I knew that that wasn't the case, I was able to enjoy the detours to, like, Anna Faris's house, and where they just, like, it's just madness, or, like, the George Michael scene. All these things are just, when you know what kind of movie it is and don't expect it to be more than it is, I really genuinely love it.
Yeah, when I realized that they were sort of going to get into running gags and we're going to get scenes sort of right out of Key and Peele, almost out of their show at times, it feels like, when they're going around and they're, like, introducing each other to the gang and tell me, you know, two things about yourself, you know, and then, like, the wall flip and all that kind of thing. So I wasn't upset so much that when they were diverting from the cat stuff, that it was kind of a surprise that it was a bit of these soft guys trying to have, like, a guy's weekend and then actually having to man up and become, like, harder and more, I guess, stereotypical, right? Like, they're almost, I almost feel at times like Key and Peele, like, are stand-ins for white America at times, and there's, like, lots of comments about that going on throughout. So I was enjoying the fact that they were able to sort of lace this with commentary also, and I laughed as much during those times as I was during, like, just the randomness of the Anna Faris scene.
At the very beginning, I was really excited. I was like, this is going to be like a Milo and Otis reboot.
Yep.
This cat's going on a super adventure. And then he was gone, but he came back and it was okay. But he was still great.
And the most important thing is at the very, very end, he's got that really rare disease. He's going to be a kitten forever, which is just the cutest thing. Because this cat is adorable. It's played by 7 different cats.
And I'm sure there's a CG cat in there somewhere too.
Probably. But I think a lot of it, honestly, is mostly real cats.
Well, that opening sequence is amazing, you know, and it reminded me of The Matrix, too, when Key and Peele's doppelgangers show up and they are the real gangster thug badass.
The Allentown boys.
And who are the Blips are the other ones, like the Bloods and the Crips combined to make the Blips. And that is just a great sequence because, like, they're referencing The Matrix, but it's also really well shot. And then you got the cat running through the whole thing, trying to, like, dodge bullets and jump over the coke. And it's just, it's splendid. I was also expecting more of, like, that Milo and Otis, sort of the trio on the run, maybe, from something. But what we do get of it is really great. So I'm glad that they at least decided to inject the kitten into the movie that they had originally written.
Absolutely. What I also like is that I couldn't remember how far into the movie the cat shows up, you know, that they get the cat and that the cat is named. But like less than 8 minutes in, Jordan Peele shows off. He's just like, hey, I got this cat. He's named Keanu. And Keegan's like, I'm sorry, Keanu? And like no reference to the actor at all. Just like, yeah, I think it means cool breeze in Hawaiian, which is, you know, why our tagline for this podcast is what it is. But I like that in this world, I mean, obviously he's like a huge movie fan because they shoot the little adorable recreations of movies. They've got movie posters on the walls. They've got like a Cloud Atlas poster somewhere, which is like a nod to the Wachowskis. But I like that in this world, he named the cat not after Keanu Reeves, but because he liked what the name meant in Hawaiian, which is like another like little nice little joke. So I like that. But I also liked, I especially liked how quickly he shows up because, I mean, the titular Keanu is Keanu. I mean, he's got like six or seven different names in this movie. Everybody's sort of got a different name for him, but same cute cats the whole way through.
And then I guess it's about like an hour in until the cat actually speaks. For its one and only has like a little monologue in the middle of the movie because
you mean during the drug trip?
Yeah, like that's the thing is like Key and Peele sort of get mixed up into this. Their cat gets stolen because their neighbor is the weed dealer, right? Played by the last man on earth. MacGruber.
Yep. And Will Forte.
Like, yeah, Will Forte. So Keanu gets stolen and they have to like sort of do these drug deals to get Keanu back. And they're running this drug called, what's it called?
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Okay. Cause that's what you say after you take it. And then just one of them ends up doing it without knowing it, right?
Yeah, Keegan does because he doesn't want to smoke a joint because he doesn't want to do drugs. He's like, no, I'm all about that pipe. And the guy's like, oh, a pipe? Here you go.
Right. And then he does that and he trips out and that's when we get the actual Keanu.
Yeah, we get the back-to-back, the two best scenes in the movie where he's inserted into the Faith music video, which is amazing.
It was so perfect.
And then we hear the Matrix theme song. And we see a room that's sort of tinted with that Matrix green coloring. And it's Keanu, the actor, voicing the cat Keanu and saying, hello, Clarence, it's me, Keanu, meow. And then the whole scene is just sort of like a series of Keanu references that just kind of works perfectly and that we're going to see in these next two shorts that we're talking about. It's just like one line after another referencing his older stuff.
Hello, Clarence. It's me, Keanu.
Meow.
Wait, are you Keanu Reeves?
Yeah,
I'm your spirit teacher. People can't be excellent to you unless you're being excellent to yourself.
What does that mean?
Clarence, it's time to wake up. Where you go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Oh, right. The Matrix.
Dude, all you need to remember is...
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I was really excited about that part of the movie. I actually got on the edge of the couch and was like really pumped about it in a super nerdy way. I was just very excited about all of the Matrix references and all of the references to all of his other films. I just got really excited about it.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, like, it hit me harder than I was expecting. Like, I was very giddy at this point. And I don't know if, I mean, like, I've obviously, like, know and loved Keanu before doing Keanu Club, but I'm not sure I would have had such an allergic reaction if we hadn't been doing Keanu Club, because, like, everything out of his mouth is just, like, perfect, and it's coming out of a kitten, and Keanu's voice coming out of a kitten just kind of feels so natural, and there's just something kind of pleasant about it, and it was just making me very happy, and that's, man, I just wish he kept talking throughout the rest of the film, but it was so worth that moment, you know, it was so worth it just to have that.
So originally, Keanu declined doing the movie. And then apparently when the movie was finalized, or, you know, it was there was like a final cut or whatever, and they released trailers, and Keanu's sister saw the trailer and thought it was really funny and said, you need to be a part of this. And so they got in touch, and so they added that second scene. Like, they had the drug trip, I think, was just going to be the George Michael thing, and then it becomes the George Michael Keanu scene, which is great, like just really, really good.
That's a testament to modern filmmaking too, where the film can be locked and the trailer is out and we're going to shoot this extra scene and insert it into the film because it's modern day and we have the technology to do that, and it's so great.
apparently he recorded like a lot of different lines. He didn't even know what they were going to use until he saw the movie. Like Warner Brothers wanted him to do like all these different references, and like Key and Peele, I think, wanted to keep it sort of, I mean, obvious still, but not like, hey, it's like you're in the Matrix and I'm like, it's just sort of like a little bit under the radar, you know what I mean? Like sort of make it less blatant. But he recorded a bunch and didn't know what they were going to use until he actually saw the movie, and then I think he liked it.
You know, I doubt they will, but if they ever do a sequel, I hope that he comes back, because they did say the cat is a kitten forever. Like, it's got that rare disease.
Yep.
It's always going to be a kitten. So, I mean, it doesn't even necessarily have to stay with Key and Peele. It could go on to, like, someone else and speak to it in the voice of Keanu.
A little bit of foreshadowing. This kitten is a kitten forever, and I personally think that Keanu doesn't age, and he's going to live forever, so...
Yep. And we're going to find out about that in one of the next things that we're talking about, definitely. So we could have 700 Keanu movies. I mean, we have to replace Key and Peele after a while, but we could just have Keanu voicing that kitten forever and ever and ever, which I would not be opposed to. I guess I think they were writing this, and then like John Wick came out, and they wanted to make sure they didn't want it to seem like a John Wick parody, because instead of having, you know, a movie about like sort of underground crime and a dog featuring centrally into this, it's underground crime sort of and a cat. And so they want to make sure that it wasn't, I don't think it does, because it's a very different inclusion of it. It's a completely different story and everything like that. It's not a tale of revenge. It's sort of a tale of, I guess it kind of is revenge in a way, but it's a different kind of revenge.
Yeah, it's more like the whole movie is like the save the cat. You know, like that screenwriting phrase. Yep. That's become super popular. And that's like what this movie is. Like the whole movie, they have to save their cat. And so I thought that was pretty sweet. And, you know, I don't really see the John Wick parallels. Like that movie is just way more sort of serious and brutal. And the dog gets killed in that. And it's all like revenge on the dog. And yeah, I feel like this is much more lighthearted. But I could understand just... You don't want maybe, I don't know why you wouldn't want two Keanu movies coming out so close. I mean, Bogus Journey and Point Break, right? They came out like a week apart or something.
Yep. Well, also, I mean, it came out a couple years after John Wick. John Wick was like 2014. This is 2016. I think they were just like writing this movie and they had the idea for the cat. And then like they saw John Wick come out. They're like, whoa, this is like a, I don't know.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't like, yeah, releasing at the same time. It was just like, oh, in a span of two years, we're going to have two Keanu animal movies, kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I was thinking? Like Keanu's spirit animal is mostly the dog, but the cat did come up once before in Generation where he owned a cat called Super Cat, and he sang that was the best part of the movie, though,
it
when
was.
He sang Super Cat for like 1 minute, where he's like, Super Cat, where are you? So it was kind of, yeah, I don't really associate Keanu with the cat so much as the dog anyway, so I wouldn't have gotten mixed up.
Yeah. I like that. So in the movie, like I mentioned earlier, Rel, the Jordan Peele character, makes a calendar because his girlfriend dumps him. We never see the girlfriend, which is kind of an interesting thing, but he sort of falls in love with a cat, and it's kind of a romance between like a man and a cat, which is kind of adorable. But he makes a calendar with the cat recreating famous movie scenes, and two of the 12, I think they only show one in the movie, but they remake The Matrix and they remake Point Break, so a couple different Keanu movies. They also remake Boogie Nights, which for our sister podcast, PS I Love Hoffman. So there's a couple different sort of Cage Club Network shout outs in the movie, which I like.
Did it do any Cage movies though, right? That would have been cool if they snuck one in.
Yeah, here were the 12 that they do. I found a thing that has them all. Let me see here. Oh, they did Keanu, the movie Keanu. They did 7, New Jack City, which is another one of his names. That's what Method Man calls him, New Jack. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, Heat, Mad Max Fury Road, The Shining, Beetlejuice, The Matrix, Point Break, and Boogie Nights.
I'd buy that calendar.
I'm
surprised they didn't release it as sort of like an online, you know, nowadays with all this shit, like you could even buy Peter Quill's awesome mixtape. So like, why can't
Can you really?
Buy? Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
that's like the soundtrack for the movie. Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. The only other thing, so the alternate titles, somewhere in the world, this movie is known as Cat Boys. Which I love.
That's great.
And I like that there is a Rocky IV shout out, because I think people who, I'm sure we've mentioned on other podcasts, people who've listened to everything that we've done probably know that we both love Rocky IV. And Jordan Peele says, "Don't come over, I look like Apollo Creed." He's like, "Which one?" He's like, "The one where he dies." And so I love that, you know, they don't say Rocky IV by name, spoiler for Rocky IV, but I like that that's referenced because people just love that movie. Like, I think everybody knows that's a bad movie, but people love that movie. And I like that that's referenced in lots of things. Oh, I forgot. We didn't mention one of my favorite lines in the movie when they first meet Method Man. They first meet Cheddar and they see that he has New Jack, they see that he has Keanu, Jordan Peele's like, I want that cat. And he's like, yo, the cat's not for sale. And Jordan Peele says, everything has a price, which is just a straight up line from John Wick.
That's right, which is the car.
Amazing, yeah. So I love that, because that was a line that, you know, I'd seen John Wick once, I think, when I saw Keanu, and now I've seen it a couple times, especially, you know, a couple more times this year before that, so I was just like, oh, that's amazing. Like, that's another thing that, like, the more you love Keanu, I'm sure there's other references that I might have missed, but the more you love Keanu, the more you're gonna like this movie, because it's clear that they love him, too, or they love his movies, at least. Next up is Anyone Can Quantum, and both of these are directed by Alex Winter, which I forgot, which is Bill from Bill and Ted, which is pretty cool. He directed Keanu in Freaked, right? And then we haven't really seen him since.
He did the documentary I mini-reviewed called Deep Web.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, where Keanu did the narration to that. So, yeah, and Alex Winter has been doing a couple he did a great Napster documentary a couple years ago, and he's working on something. Frank Zappa is the thing he's working on now, I think.
And supposedly also maybe working on Bill and Ted 3, so we'll see. I don't know. But Jess, what did you love about these that you've seen them both like 10 times?
The fact that Keanu was in it. Like, my favorite part of the whole thing is that it's a line in the Anyone Can Quantum when Paul Rudd's like, man, I just got this email from you. It's like 700 years in the future. And Keanu's like, yeah, probably. I don't age. And every time I hear that, I laugh so hard. I'm like some dumb schoolgirl. I laugh so hard when I watch these videos. It's unreal.
Paul, I didn't wake you, did I? There's a role for this guy who gets his teeth kicked in. I thought you'd be perfect.
Hey, man, this is going to sound strange, but I think I just got an email from you from 700 years in the future.
That doesn't surprise me. I don't age. Once I truly master entanglement, communication via closed, time-like curves should be straightforward.
Oh, yeah, that makes total sense.
Hey, man, next time you talk to future me, find out if I'm still jamming with my band Dogstar.
All right, I'm hanging up now.
Hanging up?
I'm like Zoe Saldana in Quantum is Calling when she, like, freaks out when she finds out that she's talking to Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Do you know, I tried to find this out and I couldn't find it out. How did these get created? Like, I know that they were made in collaboration with Caltech's Institute for Quantum Information and Matter. There was some kind of convention or something that they were doing, and so Stephen Hawking's involved there, and Paul Rudd is involved, I think. Or they got him because of the quantum stuff in Ant-Man. But, like, Jess, you know anything, like, how did this happen?
You know, I don't know, but I would guess, and it's probably a stretch, the fact that The Theory of Everything came out and it was such a big deal and Eddie Redmayne got his award and Ant-Man came out and that just was like a really big film at the time. I think the fact that the two of them were both science related, maybe they got in on making this because Zoe Saldana, they reference her Uhura character in the Quantum is Calling video. So maybe it's the fact that in this very large circle, they're all supposed to be related to science, and maybe they're trying to allude to that. I'm drawing a big circle with my pen right now, trying to just connect all of this together.
I mean, I think that the one underlying thing about both of these shorts is that they're made by nerds for nerds, like with nerdy actors. Like, beautiful people, like Paul Rudd and Zoe Saldana are both beautiful, you know what I mean? But like, people who are like, yeah, I want to do a thing where like I get to meet Stephen Hawking and talk about science. Like, it feels just like, I don't know how better to describe it than that. It's like these really sort of heady, lofty things combined with the aw shucks, lowbrow charm of Paul Rudd and Simon Pegg a little bit. You know what I mean? It just feels like it's a very specific type of thing that I feel like most people wouldn't necessarily want to get involved, but I feel like the people who are in this, and there's probably other actors too, are like, oh, absolutely, that's something I definitely want to do.
I mean, I would do it. I'm a huge nerd.
Yeah, to me, I thought this was a direct sort of tie-in to Ant-Man, you know, that it was part of its marketing or something. And same with the second one, it feels like it's part of, like, Star Trek Beyond's marketing, and yet it's not. What it kind of seems to me is it's like a geek culture tie-in of some type where, like you said, like, Ant-Man and Star Trek are both very sort of science-based sci-fi films, and you get, let's grab the actors from that, and maybe we can sort of lure in the average geek and get them more interested in the science behind the fantasy that they're watching, you know, and then maybe we could inspire them to actually go to, you know, science school and get into quantum mechanics and become the next Hawking or things like that. So to me, it kind of feels somewhat like that. At first, I thought it was also like a Funny or Die video, which it could very well pass as well. So I just think they're really well done, though. Like, for whatever they're trying to do, they're funny, they're informative, and they make me want to dive deeper into the world of quantum mechanics.
What's kind of interesting to me is that the first video is called, it's called Anyone Can Quantum at the end, and that's how it's known on IMDb and everywhere else, but on YouTube, it's just called Stephen Hawking Faces Paul Rudd in Epic Chess Match Featuring Keanu Reeves. Like, describing exactly what it is, you know what I mean? And that video has like 4.5 million views. The sequel, Quantum is Calling, only has 100,000 views. So I think the first one just got picked up by like every blog, because as I was trying to find information about like why this exists, and that's where I found out about that one collaboration thing, it just seemed like everybody was just posting like, you gotta check out this video. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know why the second one didn't blow up. Just as somebody who watched these before this, because I didn't know about them. I might have seen them, but I definitely didn't watch them before Keanu Club. Was the first one more viral? Like, do you remember it being everywhere and they sort of had that, like, the second one wasn't as big?
Yes. Exactly that. There's really no other way to describe it. The first one was huge, and the second one was just kind of meh.
So they were just sort of, like, around, like, the first one seems like it was on, like, every site or whatever. Like, every, you know, AV Club probably posted it, and, like, I saw it on Verge and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the second one just, I guess, a few. I don't know why, like, if the first one's such a hit, it's not like it's years later. I mean, it's like 6 months later. It's not Paul Rudd, but you have Zoe Saldana, and you have the voice of Simon Pegg, and you also have John Cho. Like, if there's still, like, star power, like, I don't know why it wasn't bigger than it was, even if people just sort of organically finding it, you know?
Yeah, I almost feel like Zoe Saldana has more sort of nerd cachet than Rudd. Like, she's in Avatar, she's in Guardians of the Galaxy, she's in Star Trek. She's like a real big, like, female role model, I feel like, in action and adventure films and stuff. So it's kind of strange that this one didn't really get the traction. And the same with the guys in it, too. Like, Simon Pegg is like huge, like, you know, geek status and everything like that. I don't understand it. I mean, Rudd is super charming and funny and everything like that, but I think they both have their strengths, you know, that the second one just didn't go viral. Like, I mean, you know, it just didn't hit when it needed to, perhaps.
But the thing that ties both of these together, at least as far as we're concerned, is that they're both sort of just a nonstop stream at times of Keanu references. That in the first one, let me know if I missed any, we get 700 years later, which is sort of Bill and Ted's in a way. And in both of these, Keanu is kind of the Rufus role, right? Like, he's sort of this wise person ensuring that the future is not doomed by basically making an idiot in the present. Like, the character that Paul Rudd is, like, the Paul Rudd that Paul Rudd is playing is just, like, a dummy who, like, needs to read quantum mechanics for babies so that he can understand what to do here, but needs to guide him through this process to save the future. So we have Bill and Ted's references. He calls it most excellent. You know, he wakes up just like Neo in The Matrix. We get a Dog Star shout-out. Alex Winter himself literally pops into the video from below the screen and just says, "Shut up, Ted." In the second one, we have all the different names from Zoe Saldana, like Johnny Utah, Neo, Bill, or Ted. I don't know. We get a Matrix ending, too. We get the Matrix code. I mean, there's so many things here that, like, it's a little, like, it's not as, not that Keanu the movie is subtle, but these are just, like, slapping in the face with, like, hey, look, it's the Matrix code. You remember Keanu was in The Matrix?
Oh, yeah, this is way more blatant, I feel. Like, this is much more, like, let's remind them. You know, let's go through sort of our greatest hits. Like, let's, you know, it's almost like a montage. Like, when you go see, or at least, like, when sometimes bands would just play, like, a medley of their hits instead of every song. You know, they'd play, like, 2 minutes and move on. And yeah, that's sort of what it feels. It just feels like his greatest hits. He's, like, just referencing all of his best stuff. I mean, it's great to hear, too. I'm so glad that he's willing to be down and riff on himself as well.
Zoe, I can only show you the wormhole. You're the one who has to walk through it. And I was like, all right, like, that's cool. Like, that's, you know, that's a Morpheus. He's Rufus and Morpheus, kind of, in these two shorts. Like, he's all of the wise mentors from past movies rolled into one and training, I guess, sort of, like, Paul Rudd and Zoe Saldana are, like, kind of in the Keanu roles normally, right?
Yeah, it does kind of feel that way.
I think that's all the notes that I have. I mean, there also is the shout-out. I think, Jess, you mentioned it at the very top. Oh, you definitely did, because we talked about it, but that Keanu says he doesn't age, which, I mean, we've seen those pictures of both Cage and Keanu. It's weird, a a little bit that the two guys we've done, I mean, they're both huge in terms of internet culture and memes and stuff like that, but they're both kind of got that vampire descriptor that they don't age. I mean, now we see Cage is getting older. Keanu looks arguably better than ever. So, I mean, like, that's definitely true. But I like that he sort of references, not necessarily something from his movies, but, like, something from internet Keanu. The only thing that they maybe could have found a way to fit in is sort of sad Keanu somehow. I don't know. I don't know how we could have had that. But I guess we had, what was the entire movie that was sad Keanu? Knock Knock?
That was Generation wasn't it?
Oh, right. Yes. Keanu meme. Mm-hmm. Yes. Generation was the entire, was sad Keanu meme drawn out to 90 minutes. That was just garbage. Yeah. Jess, any last thoughts on any of the three things that we covered?
I've got nothing. I'm out.
There's not a ton here, so that's...
Yeah, I'm surprised we were able to actually go through a lot. I feel like we were able to talk about this for a while.
Any other notes, Mike, or you tapped out too?
The only other thing I thought was kind of cool was in the second Quantum, when Zoe calls Paul Rudd, it's Celery Man on her phone, which was a classic Paul Rudd Tim and Eric bit from the internet.
Yes. I think I was trying to remember where I knew that from.
Or 2010 mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was really cool too. There was just like a extra deep cut thrown in there.
And in the first movie, when Keanu calls Paul Rudd, his picture is Ted. So just like, yes, it's like a blurry stretch, like sort of out of focus, but that right, stereotypical like Ted, yep, with the open mouth agape. Yep.
But it's cool. I hope that they don't let the I hope just because the second one wasn't as popular, doesn't have 4 billion views on YouTube, that they'd stop with this series. I think it's fun and funny and it's got momentum, and they could keep switching it up with different actors, and then you could keep coming back with Keanu. And maybe even Keanu will show up in the flesh in some future installment as well. So that would be cool.
Maybe, but I also feel like the reason that he's in these is because he can sit in his closet or in a studio somewhere like a minute from his house and just like in 45 minutes be done. You know what I mean? Like, even if he's...
I don't know. Like, this looks like it was shot at Alex Winter's house in like an afternoon, and that they all just sort of like showed up there.
Which would be awesome, but it does feel like Stephen Hawking's not with them. Like, they took a camera to him, but yeah, everybody else is just sort of, you know, they're on the phone or whatever. Like, maybe Simon Pegg called it in or whatever, but it definitely feels like, yeah, we're all here together, just hanging out, making a thing, gonna put it out on YouTube. So I think, Jess, this is your last Keanu Club appearance. We only have three more regularly scheduled episodes. We have The Whole Truth, which is the last Keanu movie that I haven't seen. We have The Neon Demon, and then we have John Wick Chapter 2. So we've got those three, and then we've got... he's in three or four other movies. And he's also got a TV show that's coming out this year that we may or may not cover, depending on really how deep into it he is. But, Jess, thank you so much for your run here on Keanu Club. You were not on any Cage episodes. This was sort of your entry into the Cage Club Podcast Network family. So you'll be back for future podcasts. But thank you for all your Keanu contributions.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad I got to go out with a bang on this one.
with the three little short baby mini episodes all rolled into one.
And they were better than the three long films that I watched.
Oh, yes. Which three were you on? Which other ones are you on? You were on Feeling Babes Minnesota. Babes in Toyland was great.
Yes, I was in Babes in Toyland, The Last Time I Committed Suicide,
and
Henry's Crime.
Oh, right.
Wait. Oh, man.
What? Yeah, I thought you were on Feeling Minnesota, but that was
Melissa. A triple feature from hell.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I mean, I think some of those were, like, last-minute sort of fill-ins, because we're like, there's not a lot left, but...
Well, you know, someone did post the extended cut of Babes in Toyland that we could watch that extra hour and a half and do another episode if you're up for
God.
It.
Oh, God.
C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I, Cincinnati.
No!
I come from
C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I, Cincinnati.
Oh, so, just wait, make me wake up.
So for all things Keanu Club, including Jess's three past episodes, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter. You can see all the different shows that we have, including Zack Attack, where Jess is pretty much name-checked every episode now, which is kind of the best thing. She's mentioned and referenced, and we read her emails and send hate mail about this podcast, too, to zackattack@cageclub.me. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll read it somewhere. But go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, and @cageclubpod for everything that we do. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Jess Collins. We'll see you next time on Keanu Club.
It's me, Keanu.
Meow.